So we've covered reframing, pre-framing, and deframing. Now we're going to look at how to maintain your frame without doing any of these things. Because really that's the most powerful way of maintaining your frame, where you don't have to do anything in particular. It's just about how you project yourself as a human being and the way you walk through the world. Maintaining your frame really subcommunicates in a very strong sort of way, I'm very secure in who I am, I know what I am, and I know what I'm doing. And because you're very secure in that particular message, everyone else around you becomes very secure as well. The essence to the art of maintaining your frame naturally is the ability to just stay very firmly planted in your reality, to know what your truth is, and to stay there. Now, this leads to some very interesting outcomes. For example, there are two very important categories of people who have mastered the art of maintaining their frame without even thinking about it. These two categories are the person who's passionate and the person who is slightly psychotic. Now, these might seem very strange categories to have in, but let's look at what they do. Someone who's psychotic is someone who basically lives in their own reality to such an extent that nothing that anyone else can say or do will actually shake him from his conviction, from his beliefs. This is why a lot of sort of psychotic personalities can be very, very charismatic. It's because they tend to collapse everyone else's realities around them into themselves, unless people, of course, notice something strange is going on and disappear. So this is why a lot of cult leaders, for example, tend to have a slightly psychotic personality. It's because they believe in what they're doing so much, even though it's in a slightly strange universe. They believe in it so much that everyone else around them starts collapsing their realities, their frames, into the dominant frame as well. Now that's the unhealthy way to do it. The healthy way to do it is to take a lesson from the passionate people in life, the visionary leaders. People who are passionate, people who are visionary leaders, believe in that vision so much that the energy, the sheer enthusiasm carries them through all doubts, all challenges, and it's almost like any doubt or challenge is looked at as, how can this possibly be true? Because they live so firmly planted in this new vision that nothing else can seem to get through to them. Now this is important because what they're doing is they're projecting a very high level of congruence, that authority that says this is correct, this is the way that things are. And if you think about the difference between, say, a politician or a spin doctor or any kind of cheap snake oil salesman, the difference between them and the passionate visionary leader is purely to do with where they're coming from. In other words, their congruency isn't there. Someone who's a snake oil salesman is leaking out, is sub-communicating that they do not believe in the very messages they're giving to you. So that all the right words seem to be there, but because you don't trust those words, the meta frame, the big frame set around all that is, this person is trying to deceive me. And yet, people who are passionate and visionary leaders have the opposite. All their sub-communications are telling you, this is true, this is the way the world is, and if you join me, you can live in this world as well. And of course, people find that immensely appealing, and they will, over time, begin to allow their own realities collapse into that. It's how we manage to stay in a society. The way we stay sane, or check that we're still sane, is we do something called reality testing, which means we're constantly sending out these little pings at other people to check that the way we look at the world is pretty much still in alignment with the way that everyone else does. And that way, at least we know we're still in a reasonable state of sanity and can live within this society. Now, when we reality test, and we keep getting these pings back saying, no, this is wrong, this is the way it is, but they're very, very solid pings. It tells us at an unconscious level we need to readjust our expectations of the world. Now let me tell you an extreme example of how this works. A friend of mine went through special forces selection, and one of the things that happens in the hunter evasion exercises is they get sent off into the middle of nowhere. Then they get hunted until they get caught. Now meanwhile, of course, they're tired, they're hungry, they have no equipment, they're constantly on the move, so their resources are being depleted already. By the time they get caught, they're being driven off in some military vehicle with a bag over their head, not knowing who they are, where they are, and where they're going. Then they get thrown into a cell. This cell is a unique underground bunker in which all the furniture has actually been nailed to the ceiling. They've even made a light bulb come out with a wire from the floor upwards. So all the suggestions, all the sub-communications are that the ceiling is the floor and vice versa. Now here's the funny thing. These people who have an indomitable will, when they've been put into this situation for long enough and some of the defenses have been broken down a little bit, within 20 minutes, half an hour, an hour at the most, they're literally trying to climb the walls in order to sit on the furniture that's been nailed to the ceiling. That is how reality testing works. We take our cues from our environment to check whether or not things are still correct. So when we first meet a stranger, whatever their subcommunications are, we'll actually take that to be at face value. So if someone is incongruent, it looks like they're lying to you. And the instant warning bells go off saying, this person is a con man. Do not trust this person. And this is true throughout the phases of trying to establish and maintain your frame. Now, the thing that visionary leaders do, that people who are passionate about something do, is they get so carried away by the emotion, by the vision that they've been inspired by, that they forget to do anything but live in that reality, so that anything else to the contrary almost gets deleted out. Now, when you're constantly reality testing, and the one and only constant in your reality test is a signal coming back saying, this is real, this is real, this is real, this is real. Eventually, through repetition and reinforcement, it actually becomes real, and you will tend to collapse our reality into that, which means the most passionate and vivid frame has won. Now, if you're going to do this, make sure that you back things up with your own beliefs. In other words, you must believe in what you're doing. If you don't believe in it, why should anyone else do it? And if you're going to believe in something, well, make sure it's worthwhile believing. Because ultimately, this will affect you as much as the rest of the world. So this is going back to the very core principle of going first. If you believe in what you're talking about, in the frame that you set, with absolute passion and conviction, there is nothing anyone else can do to rattle that cage and prevent it from happening. Now, the next track, we're going to look at a couple of ways that you can handle challenges to your frame in such a way that it builds your own belief and other people's belief in that frame, that makes it more real for everyone. It's something that you sub-communicate, and it's something that, whilst at first becomes a bit of pressure on you, over time you become so accustomed to that you yourself become rock solid in your beliefs, in your convictions, and in the way that you project those through your frames.